Good morning, everyone. This is Pastor JP. I want to say thank you for Crossline family and friends for joining us. If I can, I want to give you a virtual handshake, high five, hug. You at home, let me give you the encouragement to hug each other. In fact, do what the Bible says and give each other a holy kiss. I want to thank you for joining us in our first installment of our series, The New Normal. We are facing a new normal. The whole world is facing a new normal. The coronavirus and its spread wasn't anticipated, and it's changed our reality. At least for a season, this is our new normal. So for the next several weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Scripture and look at biblical characters to see how they faced new normals. When something came into their world that wasn't anticipated and was beyond their control, how they responded with faith and obedience. And so we're going to be able to see from God's word how we can have hope and faith in this time of our new normal. And when you step back and think about it, everyone's life is filled with new normals. I mean, we come out of the comfort of the womb at birth to a new normal. Then at some point as we grow up, we go off to school and we leave our families. It's a new normal. And then we go through puberty and all the hormones that race through our bodies and the zits on our faces and whole new desires. That's a new normal. And then at some point we go off on our own and we have to pay our own bills. That's a new normal. And then for many of us, we get married, we have kids. That's a new normal. And then our kids go off to school and that's a new normal. And then our kids go through puberty, and that's a new normal. And then our kids finally leave the nest and start paying their own bills. Hallelujah. And that's a new normal. My point is this. Life is filled with new normals. God has something to say for us. He has something to say that will give us encouragement and hope and faith during this time of a new normal. And so I want to begin this study looking at the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to look at a guy named Jehoshaphat. And for some of us, maybe our only connection is the phrase, jumpin' Jehoshaphat. Actually, Jehoshaphat was a king in Judah, the southern kingdom, in the 9th century B.C., and so we're going to see from a guy who lived almost 3,000 years ago how we can have faith, how we can have confidence, how we can obey God and experience God in a fresh and new way that's not only a blessing to us, it's a blessing to the people around us as we are facing a new normal. And so looking at this passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I have six observations because there's a crisis. So what do I do now? There's a crisis. So what do I do now? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the first observation is this. An enemy is invading and is already at our borders. An enemy is invading and is already at our borders. This is what God's word says. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Munites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It's already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, in En-Gedi. The new normal for Jehoshaphat was an invading army. He gets word that an army, which was vast, outnumbered his own resources, had gathered together and was at his borders. In fact, it says in this scripture that the army was already at En-Gedi. Now, if you've read the Hebrew scriptures and read the story of David, En-Gedi was a place where King David went and went into a cave and took solace and prayed. It's right off the Dead Sea. Geographically, it's right at the border into the border of Judah. Not that far away. The point is this. King Jehoshaphat gets word that there was an invading army that was coming to attack him and was already into his territory. You know what? We've gotten a word that the coronavirus is coming, and it's already here. In fact, many projections say that at some point in time, it's going to expose itself to every one of us. Our borders have been invaded. So what's our response? Are we going to panic? Are we going to stoically give up? Are we going to turn to solely human resources and information to respond. Because there's a crisis, what do we do now? We've been invaded. It's our new normal. Here's my second observation. We must seek the Lord, pray, and ask for God's help. We must seek the Lord, pray, and ask for God's help. This is what it says Jehoshaphat did in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard. And this is what he said. Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel? And did you not give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built its sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as our inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And all the men of Judah, with their wives and their children and their little ones, they stood there before the Lord. Did you just hear what this passage says? In a time of crisis, Jehoshaphat led the people of God to turn to the Lord, to inquire of the Lord, to seek the Lord, to ask for the help of the Lord. Now, it says, beginning in this section, that Jehoshaphat was alarmed. That's a mild translation of the Hebrew word. It really means he was afraid. He had a human response of fear. You know, I think it's totally normal to be afraid when we hear bad news of impending calamity and sickness and pandemic. But what we do after we hear that message and after we feel those feelings, that shows us what we really believe. Because what Jehoshaphat did is his fear of God, the healthy fear of God, was greater than his human fear. He turned to the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He asked for God's help. And he led the whole people into seeking the Lord and asking for God's help. In fact, the first thing that Jehoshaphat did was he proclaimed a fast. Now, in the Bible, fasting is always associated with prayer and humbling oneself before God and repentance and in holy desperation seeking God's help. Jehoshaphat led the people in a spiritual fast in seeking God. And so, if we want to experience God the way the people in the Bible experience God, then we need to do what the people of the Bible did. And so I'm calling everyone who is a part of Crossline Church, everyone who calls Crossline Church home tomorrow on Monday to fast, to pray and fast. That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm going to be emailing you a guide on how you can spend time in fasting. You may choose to fast one meal. You may choose to fast two meals. You may choose to fast three meals. You may choose to do a 24-hour fast. But I would like all of us as a church family to do what the Bible says to do, to turn to God and to set apart time for God and to actually abstain from food for a short season and use that time to pray and ask for God's help. Use that time to say, God, we are turning to you. We're going to believe you are who you say you are. We're going to do what you say to do, and we're going to ask you to help us. That's exactly what Jehoshaphat did here in 2 Chronicles 20. And so please join with me tomorrow on Monday as we extend some time in prayer and fasting and asking for God's help in our life. It says here in this passage that the people of God, they sought God's help. You know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land." Along with pastors all over the United States and churches all over the United States, are banding together, claiming this promise, and I'm calling Crossline Church to band together and claim this promise. And as a symbol, what we're doing is at 7:14 for 2 Chronicles 7:14, so 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 in the evening, just calling the people of God to spend some time in prayer. Just let that time be a reminder we're turning to God in prayer. In fact, for Crossline Church and all of our family and friends, tomorrow, Monday night at 7:14 p.m., I'm going to be going on Facebook Live from Crossline Church and leading us in a family prayer time. And so I'm encouraging you at 7:14 p.m. Monday night to join with me on Facebook. And we're going to go Facebook Live, and we will pray together and turn to the Lord and ask God for his help. Because if we want to experience God the way the people in the Bible experience God, we need to do what the people in the Bible did. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, they turn to the Lord in prayer and fasting. The people of God, they ask for God's help. It says very specifically, they sought the Lord and they prayed and declared what was true about God. Do you know the essence of praise is declaring what's true about God. When we declare the attributes of God and we declare the actions of God, that's what praise is all about. We're getting our thoughts and our hearts and our minds in line with what is actually true about God. And here at Crossline Church, the truest thing about you is what God says is true. The truest thing about God is what God says is true about God. And when we say what's true about God, we're actually praising him. So Jehoshaphat led the people of God. They turned to the Lord. They fasted. They prayed. They inquired of the Lord, and they claimed God's promise. In the midst of this initial response, Jehoshaphat recounts the promise that God gave to his people. Let me ask you, what promises are you claiming at this time? What promises in God's word are you asking him to fulfill in your life? I've made a list of 15 promises that I believe the people of God need to memorize, internalize, meditate on, and claim. I'm going to be sending that out Crossline as an email. So please stay in touch with us. And every time you get an email from us, read that, because there's vital information that's going to help you and your family, especially in your spiritual response to God. There are promises that we can claim that will give us strength. And God is a promise keeper. He always keeps his promises. And so when we internalize his promises and in prayer, we speak them back to God and we claim them and we act upon them in faith, that's when God releases a miracle in our lives. Jehoshaphat called the people of God to remember his promises. And he was very honest. He said, "We don't know what to do, so we're turning to you for help. We don't know what to do, so we're turning to you for help." In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, talking about this great relationship with God that we have, this new covenant relationship, he says, not that we're adequate, not that we're competent, not that we're confident in ourselves, but our confidence, it comes from God who has made us confident as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We have confidence because of God. We're adequate for the situation today because of God. It is God who gives us confidence. It is God who speaks into our lives. It is God who's going to help us. And then I like the line there in the passage we just looked at in 2 Chronicles 20, because it says, all of the men stood with their families and their children and their little ones. Let me just say something to the men of Crossline. For such a time as this, Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I'm calling for the men of Crossline Church to be servant leaders, to be humble servant leaders, to love their wives, to love their children, to lead their wives and their children to the Lord, to be a family shepherd, to be like Jehoshaphat over their family and call their families to love and serve God. If you're single, then that's a word to you. If you're a single mom, That's a word to you. It's a word to every one of us. We're to be like Jehoshaphat, who turned to the Lord, who asked for God's help, who inquired of the Lord. That's our response. Here's a third observation from this passage. We must listen to the word of God and receive encouragement, perspective, and direction. Listen to the word of God and receive encouragement, perspective, and direction. This is what it says in 2 Chronicles 20. Then the Spirit of the Lord, this is verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, a descendant of Asaph, and he stood in the assembly. And he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord that God will give you. God will give Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Well, that's a good word from God. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Be strong. Be courageous. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's God's word to us. That's God's word to us today. You see, in this historic occasion, almost 3,000 years ago, a prophet spoke the word of God and the people received it. Because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have the prophecies of God in our Bibles. We have the word of God in our Bibles. When we read the Bible, we are reading the word of God to us. We are reading the word of the prophets to us. We are reading the word of encouragement and direction and perspective to us. And this is what the Lord says to you. Crossline Church, family, friends, this is what the Lord says to you. Be strong and courageous. The battle belongs to the Lord. Be strong and courageous. The battle belongs to the Lord. Man, that's a word that God has shared throughout the whole of Scripture. In Joshua chapter 1, when Joshua took the baton from Moses and he was leading the people of Israel into the promised land, in Joshua chapter 1, three times God says, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible, the story of David and Goliath. When David went down in the Valley of Elah and Goliath, the biggest man who ever lived, was coming after him, God spoke to David and gave him confidence and gave him a message and says, the battle belongs to the Lord. Whatever opposition we face as followers of Christ, whatever spiritual battle right now in this crisis, this new normal of the coronavirus, the battle belongs to the Lord. 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 Let's be strong and courageous. It's God's word to us. Now, in this word that came from the prophet, it also says, take up your positions and stand firm. See, there's always God's part and our part. There's always God's part in our part. So realizing that the battle belongs to the Lord doesn't mean we just kind of sit back and go, okay, I'm just going to let go and let God. No, there's our part. Our part is to take the initiative in the power of the Holy Spirit and be obedient and then leave the results to God. Take the initiative in the power of the Holy Spirit to be obedient and then leave the results to God. Because the word of God is this: you won't have to fight, but you will see the deliverance of the Lord. If we will step out in faith, if we will step out in obedience, we won't have to fight. We'll see the deliverance of the Lord. That's why we're to be strong and courageous, because the battle belongs to the Lord. I love that passage also in the Hebrew Scriptures of Elisha, the prophet, and his servant Gehazi. They're in a little house, And Gehazi looks out the window and he just sees the invading army from Aram. He sees all the soldiers and he's filled with fear. And, you know, Elisha is cool as a cucumber. And then Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. And then his servant Gehazi looks out again and he sees all the heavenly hosts standing guard between him and all the invading armies of Aram. And he says, greater are those for us than those who are against us. That is true for you, Crossline. That is true for us, the people of God. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Our God, the Lord of hosts, is our refuge, it says in Psalm 46. God is for us. God is fighting our battle. We can trust in the Lord. We can be strong in the Lord. We can be courageous in the Lord. When we turn to him, when we listen to his word, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we put it into practice by faith. That's God's word to us. Here's a fourth observation from this passage in 2 Chronicles. This is good stuff, isn't it? This is good stuff. 2 Chronicles 20. Here's a fourth observation. We must worship and praise the Lord. We must worship and praise the Lord. It says in 2 Chronicles 20:18, Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. And then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korathites, they stood up and they praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They worshiped and they praised the Lord. It says they bowed down and they fell down. That's the posture of dependent worship in the Bible. There's two postures in the Bible of worship when you look at all the scriptures. There's a bowing down, and then there's a standing up and lifting the hands. There's a bowing down in humble worship, and there's a standing up and lifting the hands in bold praise. And both are represented here in 2 Chronicles 20. When they bowed down, they were saying, God, you are our only hope. And we are humbling ourselves before you, and we are trusting in you. It's the posture of dependent worship. In Psalm 95:6, it says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. And that's why I've posted, gang, my top 10 worship songs. Because I believe we ought to be listening to worship music. We ought to be filling our minds with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We ought to be speaking, as it says in Colossians chapter 3, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let me encourage you, however you get your music, put together a playlist of worship songs that proclaim the greatness of God, that leads you into humble dependence upon God, that fill you with a God-sized vision. It says, they stood up and praised the Lord with a loud voice. This was confident assertion that God is God. In that same psalm, Psalm 95, it says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Let us extol him with music and song. I've also posted my top 10 energizing praise songs. I mean, the songs that just get your heart beating, get your feet stomping, get your hands thrown up in the air because you really believe God's going to do what he says he's going to do. We need to have worship songs that give us a humble dependence and worship songs that give us a strong, confident praise. That's what worship is all about, because worship is a believing, feeling, expressing response to who God is. It's a believing, feeling, expressive response to who God is. Worship and praise must be intentional and spontaneous. You see, we choose to trust in the Lord. We choose to believe God's promises. We choose to believe God is who he says he is. And these choices are to be meditated on, confessed, proclaimed, acted out, and shared with others. We need to think it. We need to speak it to ourselves. We need to confess it out loud with our mouths. We need to proclaim it to others. That's what worship and praise is all about. You see, just like the coronavirus, fear is contagious. But so is praise. So is praise. So we can worry our way to fear, or we can praise our way to faith. That is the tweetable line of this whole message. We can worry our way to fear, or we can praise our way to faith. Last night, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. I was praying, and I just kind of was thinking and praying for our church, praying for our world, praying for our partners in Haiti at Crossline Church. We have a great partnership with people in Haiti. And so I went downstairs and I was reading the Word and journaling, and I sent a text to our partner in Haiti, Pastor Forge, who pastors one of the largest churches in all of Haiti and is our partner, our missions partner on the ground. I said, Pastor Forge, the Lord woke me just now to pray for you and for the children and for Haiti and for the world. Psalm 9 promises that God sees our trouble. He listens to our cry. He defends the needy and the orphan. Our God is with us. Psalm 46 says, the Lord of hosts is our refuge. I love you, Pastor Forge, and I stand with you, my brother. He sent back this text to me. Now, this was 1:30 my time. I guess it was like, 3:30 in Haiti. He said, praise the Lord. I'm already on my feet. I'm praying right now. Jesus is the answer. He can do all things. All things are possible. Thank you for praying for Haiti and for the world. I'm already on my way to church this morning. I'm going to speak on God's sovereignty in regard to this coronavirus. It's a springboard that God has permitted today to remind men of their limitations, the great men of the earth, that they've ignored God. So they trusted in their wealth, but now they have to turn to the Lord. He is the only God. All the churches are closed in Haiti, but I'm going to preach throughout our Rock Solid radio broadcast and on YouTube. It's a great moment to remind all of us that God is sovereign and in charge. That's praise. That's praise. We need to remind ourselves that God is sovereign and that God is in charge, that God loves us, that the Lord of hosts is our refuge. That's what Jehoshaphat did with the people of God. Here's a fifth observation. By faith, we're to obey God with a spirit of praise. We obey God with a spirit of praise. It says in verse 20, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God. You will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you'll be successful. And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord, to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And as they went out at the head of the army, they were singing and saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. You see, they went out and obeyed the word of God with a spirit of praise. Their obedience was characterized by faith and praise. And that is exactly what we need to do. We need to encourage one another. We need to be praising God together. We need to step out in faith and obedience with a spirit of praise, because ultimately, God is our audience. Right now, I'm speaking virtually to an empty auditorium. I'm speaking into a camera. I know that, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of you are listening out there. But God is my audience. He's the one I need to be pleasing with this message. He's the one who is looking at my heart. And it's the same for every one of us as children of God. We are to live to an audience of one. And so our hearts are to be surrendered to God in praise. Our hearts are to be surrendered to God in obedience. And our lives are to be characterized by faith-filled obedience, praise-filled obedience. And that is exactly what the people of Judah did in response to their new normal. They were encouraged by Jehoshaphat's leadership and faith and praise. They turned to God and they stepped out in obedience with a spirit of praise. And here's the last observation. God will reward our faith and obedience and glorify his name. Do you know our God is a rewarder? It says in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that seek him. God rewards our obedience. And that's what he did in 2 Chronicles 20. It says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, and they helped to destroy one another. And when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder, it took 3 days to collect it. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Berakah, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. And the fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace for his God, and he had given him rest on every side. Their praise-driven obedience triggered God's action. Let me say that again. Their praise-driven obedience triggered God's action. When the people of God will rise up in praise and faith and obey the Lord, then heaven will open up and the supernatural grace and power of God will be released. This is how we need to respond. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let's be filled with faith. Let's be filled with praise. Let's obey God, and then let's see the goodness of God released. Let's see the power of God released. Let's see God do what he promises to do, reward our faith and our obedience. It says that where God did this miracle, where the people of God trusted him and the battle belonged to the Lord, it was called the Valley of Berakah. That means the Valley of Praise or the Valley of Blessing. That's how it was remembered, because that's where they praised the Lord and that's where God blessed them. You know, there's another place described in the Bible. It's described in Psalm 95. It's described in Hebrews 2 through 4. It's Meribah. Meribah means testing or quarreling or unbelief. Because at Meribah, the people of God didn't trust God. Instead, they quarreled out of fear. And their unbelief inhibited them from entering into the promised land. You know, we have a choice before us. People of God, we have a choice. This coronavirus can be our Valley of Berakah, or it could be our Meribah. We get to choose. We could choose to trust God, praise God, turn to God in prayer and fasting, ask for his help, step out in faith-filled obedience, and see the miracles of God, and it will be our Valley of Berakah. Or we could choose to give into fear. We could choose to give into quarreling. We could choose to give into challenging God and unbelief, and it will be our Meribah. We get to choose. Every believer in Jesus Christ gets to choose. Let me encourage you. As your pastor, stand in faith. Seek the Lord. Trust God. Praise him. Praise your way to faith. Don't worry your way to fear. Let this be your Valley of Berakah. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray right now for everyone who's listening, everyone who's watching, that their hearts would turn to you, that we would seek the Lord, that we would ask for your help, that we would praise you for who you are, that we'd recognize that the battle belongs to the Lord, that we would step out in obedience in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results with God, that this would be our Valley of Berakah. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Crossline Church, friends, family, stay tuned to all of our emails that we're sending out. It'll update you on Crossline's response and encourage you with online teaching and prayer opportunities. Tomorrow, please take some time to fast and pray and seek the Lord. Tomorrow night, Monday night at 7:14, tune in on Facebook Live and we will pray together. And at 7:14 in the morning and the evening throughout the week, take some time to pray and turn your heart to the Lord and seek the Lord. So let me close with the words that Jehoshaphat gave to the people of God in 2 Chronicles 20. Have faith in the Lord your God. You will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. God bless you.